here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And I'm Caroline, and today we are recapping season 5, episode 15 of Pretty Little Liars called Fresh Meat.
Was this like the most boring episode of television you've ever watched?
So in the beginning...
Except the stuff that was happening was really exciting.
In the beginning of the episode, I was like, snooze. Oh my God. I couldn't possibly sit through 30 more minutes, which is when I paused the show to go do other stuff. And then when I came back to it, I was like, oh, like literally funeral march, allure, walking to watch it. But then crazy stuff started happening. And I have to say, my jaw dropped multiple times. So I think by the end of this episode, it redeemed itself for me.
Yeah, I just hate those episodes where it's like back and forth, back and forth. And this episode, even though a lot of big stuff happened, I feel like there was a lot of
I agree. Stuff. I think the beginning of it was very slow. And I also just feel like sometimes maybe the writers think that things are going to be like a way bigger deal than we feel like they are. Like maybe they thought Toby finding that knife was going to be like, holy shit. But we were all just like, okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like maybe they didn't even realize it. Who knows? But that is sort of how I felt when that happened. But I guess with that, we can just get right in. Did you do the recap?
All right. Here's the recap, everybody. If you will remember, last week we went to Mona's funeral and Allie showed up and tried to convince Mona's mom once again that she didn't do this. And then Mona's mom slapped her. It was epic. We revisit in the recap the letter from Bethany Young that is eventually going to be used to clear Spencer from the murder charge. And then we remember that Allie and Officer Holbrook are kind of romantically involved. We don't have a whole ton of information, but we did see Allie kissing Santa Claus is kind of the deal there. Ezra bought the brew. And he's renovating it. And we'll see it today. And you'll realize that I don't know how much renovating was really happening. But anyway, Paige is gone. Paige moved to San Francisco. And Emily's in a deep, dark depression over it. Aria hasn't gotten into a single college. Not one. So she enlists the help of Caleb to help her hack into the systems to see if it's her or if it's A. And Allie's arrested for the murder of Mona Vanderwall. And, okay, I don't actually know if she was arrested for Bethany Young's murder, but I remember that when Spencer is, like, told by Lieutenant Tanner that she's free, I believe she was, like, we don't think that Mona was Allie's first victim. We think that Bethany Young was, but I think she was just under, maybe they're going to get her later. I don't know. Anyway, that is the recap.
Well, we begin with Cadet Kavanaugh patrol. Screw Cadet Kelly. Literally. No, hey, literally. Forget about Cadet Kelly.
Hey, we're not forgetting about Cadet Kelly. We're forgetting about Cadet what's her face.
No, I know. I know. I'm just saying like, I was just saying, like, oh, forget about Cadet Kelly. And then I realized, like, oh, it's Laird. How cool and famous are we that that's Laird?
Do you think Hillary Duff heard about it?
Aren't they just... Oh, God, I hope. And you know if she did...
I'm sure they're still friends.
You know if she... You know if she heard about it... Here's my theory. They're hate following each other. And if she heard about it, you know she was like, oh, that's so fucking funny. Because... There's no way. I mean, sorry. Sorry, you are the company you keep. And if everyone you hang out with is a freaking weirdo, then you might be too.
Speaking
did you ever think
of,
about
in my head? In my head, Hillary Duff and Kelly Clarkson are like birds of a feather. I don't think that they're friends, but I just mean that they are like similar.
And what about them makes you feel like that?
I think it was maybe the time. They were both really big at the same time.
Because I'll be really honest with you.
Well, obviously one has a bit more, packs a bit more punch than the
other. One is a singer. One's an actual vocalista.
And one's a triple threat.
And one is a triple threat. Yeah.
And I'll leave it to you guys to figure out who's who.
Yes, we will.
Listen to Metamorphosis and get back to us.
Metamorphosis. That's actually so early 2000s sounding. Like all those little, like that's so.
Yeah, it's very Zoe 101.
And the way that just came back to me, the power of music.
The power
crazy
of music. Speaking of music, you know, well, this is going to be a very roundabout way of getting to what I'm about to say.
I just want to, because
this is a Wednesday recording session going into a Thursday release. This is literally us breaking news to some people, I'm sure.
Okay.
So where I was going with this was, you know how like people who have Alzheimer's will like have music therapy at their house to like bring them back to a different time of their life? Which made me think, of course, of the famous movie, The Notebook.
Right, of course.
Rest in peace.
Phoebe, I thought you were trying to keep this close to the belt. You didn't want Dad to find out.
Well, Dad
and
doesn't
now you're
listen
just,
to the podcast.
That's what you think. That's
what I know.
Rest
Dad
in peace.
Dad didn't
legend.
Know that he had. Dad didn't know that he had the podcast app on his phone until I took it out of his
you
hands
go
and,
and
left
he's
us
like,
a review.
You're like, wait, Dad, it says it already rated 1 star. It's like, oh, I thought it was number one.
Wait, Dad, you wrote Mean Girls.
Red flag.
Mean Girls. You wrote,
oh my God,
ugly
Dad.
And disrespectful.
Dad, I can't believe you would write that the louder, quote, quirkier. You think I'm quirky? How dare you? Oh my God, Dad. The quirkier sister is a straight up bully. Well, Dad. Oh, you meant that as a compliment. Okay, never mind. Sorry, we completely misread it.
And we're in the clear. Anyway, we're at the jail and Toby's like delivering some paperwork. They're acting like this place is literally Rikers Island, except for that the prisoners are just out there.
Yeah. Hey, as Phoebe said, they're acting like this place is Rikers Island, except for the fact that Toby Kavanaugh just literally walked by Allison De Laurentiis, who's just sitting apparently where people are coming and going from said prison.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This woman behind the desk is acting like it's Rikers Island. Meanwhile, there are prisoners running amok in the lobby.
Okay. Well, I just think she's just over it, and Toby just seems so green, don't you think? He seems so freaking green.
He looks it. He needs some scruff.
He needs, honestly, it's like when you got brand new, spanking new white sneakers, and it's like, yeah,
it's
you gotta
like
get a little street cred, you know? Like, you don't want to scuff them too much.
I notoriously go through this just about every January when I'm gifted a new pair of Stan Smiths, which are just about the only sneaker that I wear.
I mean, literally, it's the going back to school after Christmas break in your brand new
it's
fit.
Like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. This it is.
Every article of clothing down to probably the underwear was under the Christmas tree a week
ago. Or like, oh my God, what if I curled my hair? Everyone's like, oh, she curled her hair.
Oh, I guess she got a curly
What if
iron.
I'm wearing like new, like wearing any makeup? They're like, oh, I guess Santa went to Sephora.
She's trying something out. She's trying something out.
I don't know why we assume that everyone is bullying everyone about their Christmas presents, but that is kind of what we're doing here. So anyway, he's going to leave the jail, Toby. And as we said, Allie D is just sitting there in her orange jumpsuit and she's making it work. I would say
she's being a little dramatic here, because at first I was
she
like,
is this going to
be a reveal where Toby's walking up to this like blonde girl and he's going to think that it's Allie? And then because she's sitting there with her hair like veiled over her entire face. So I thought that she was going to like look up at Toby and it was going to be like his eyes were playing tricks on him. Uh-huh. And it was a different person. But then it was Allie. And I'm like, Allie, go back to your cell.
No, literally, like, Allie, what are you doing here? But also, I just have such a hard time believing no one would have, like, made sure that these two didn't cross paths. Imagine if, like, I know you're not
and
watching
she's
the
not
show.
Cuffed.
Imagine in the show, the mayor of Kingstown, if something like this were to happen, I mean, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Code Red. You can't even imagine the type of contraband that would be exchanged
in
that little
moment.
Imagine
if you're in, I don't know, real life. Imagine the Code Red. That we don't even need a show to compare it to.
Also, he's allowed to just like talk to her and he says he wants to know why she got moved here. And Allie won't tell him, but we can see that she's got like bruises all over her arms and says something about how like when you're new, it's like tough. And I would give literally anything to just get a little live feed of Allie D in prison. I'm dying to know.
I wish we could have had a spinoff for Allie where Allie became like a series regular in the show
in Orange is the New Black. Or could we just get
just
a free
like
form version
I
of Orange is the New
that
Black?
Is just, I guess Allie in prison is just Piper.
Low key, yes.
Like that's just that.
Piper gives big Allie vibes. But so as Toby's about to leave, she goes, tell Spencer to cut this embargo shit before it's too late. And she gets that. Oh, I love when her voice does this like embargo shit. It like goes like low and mm-hmm. kind of guttural when she's being mean Allie and the way that her creator, Sarah Shepard, intended. And I just there's a reason it works so well. There's a reason it works so well.
The girls are ignoring.
No. She says to him. Well, I think this is interesting. She says to him, do you remember how it felt to be caged for something that you didn't do, Toby? And I actually can't believe my ears as she's saying this to him. Because
Toby says the exact right thing back.
Yeah,
he takes
the words right out of my mouth.
He says, yeah, I do remember that. And I also remember whose words put me there. Do you?
And she's like,
and she doesn't really say anything.
She literally goes, maybe you'll get it when your girlfriend and the others are chained to this bench too. They're next. Unless A kills them first.
It's crazy. And she also does. I was just going to say earlier that she's been trying to get in touch with the girls.
Oh.
And they are ignoring her. But now we're at the high school. And Hannah's got a high pony today.
She
I don't
sure
think
does.
I've seen Hannah in a high pony maybe ever.
And I'm not really buying it. Not going to lie.
Me either. It's not for her.
No.
I mean, she looks great. It's just. But it she might, does have kind of like a new confidence with the high pony.
Well, I think part of that is that she's realized she's a scholar and she's like, okay, actually, why was I limiting myself? Limiting beliefs help no one. What can't she do? Girl boss. She's in her girl boss era. It's rejuvenated. Well,
exactly. And she's like, Allie's still in the penalty box, but she's playing offense.
They just all still believe that she is like pulling all these strings outside and they believe that there has to be someone outside helping her.
And it's
Toby
like,
is like filling in the girls, which is exactly why Phoebe and I don't think he should be involved in this, but I guess good for them. And that's when Aria suggests Hottie Holbrook. She's like, I saw her with her tongue down his throat. And so she's convinced that he's the one helping her.
And Toby says that he's not ruling it out, but they all thought that Hottie Holbrook was in Pittsburgh
on personal leave. Wink, wink. He had some
he was
in Pittsburgh.
Well, he was supposed to be on a case in Pittsburgh, and then he told
who says you can't mix business and pleasure?
He told the tip of the hat
to you, Hottie Holbrook.
Any
Hottie Holbrook, can I interest you in a walk in the valley?
The famous valley.
Sorry, the valley. And by the valley, I just mean the Strip District.
Right.
On a Sunday morning.
He ran into Caroline late at night. She's alone at the saloon. And this is kind of like Caroline's vow. She tells people that she hates going to the saloon. But
imagine I have a vow.
Every couple weeks, there is this person at the end of the bar in the saloon with a green velvet fedora on.
And who else could it be?
And pretending to smoke out of a corn pop.
Corn pop. I love a corn pop.
porn, but there's nothing in it, and there's
did you hear what I just said?
No.
I was trying to say corn cob pipe, and I kept, and then I actually said the other one.
Not so easy.
I said the other one, the worst one. Switch the P and the C.
I figured.
You didn't have a single reaction, huh?
Wait. You said what?
Think of all the words.
Well, no, I'm hearing corn.
Okay, well, no, I said switch the C and the P. So I don't know.
Well, that's
got a
why
K.
I got confused at first because
there wasn't a K in your Scrabble bag, okay? No, I said switch the C and the P.
Oh, that's so much worse.
I mean, than Pob, yeah,
yeah. But so Caroline's there. Well, we don't know that it's Caroline. She goes by something else. She goes by, I don't actually know. I've never had the pleasure of running into this.
Okay, creature. I'll tell you. I go by Simiamantha.
It's Celtic.
I go by Simiamantha. And famously, the saloon is a place where I did try to convince someone I was from Ireland and I spoke in an Irish accent all night.
And Audie Holbrook comes in and he's like, hey, I'll do a double.
And then all of a sudden, we hear
it. It sounded like Caroline has an accordion.
And Touch Tunes is going, but I do have my corresponding accordion, of course. And I'm also doing an Irish jig.
She's queued up Ratlinbog, but she and Holbrook are the only two people in the bar. So they're the only two
eyes,
people
of
that
course.
Can play.
I go, hit me like this to the bartender, and I put my fist against the bar, hit me. And the bartender gives me another pair of Irish step dancing shoes that are in his exact size. I take them, slide them down, give him a wink, say meet you on the dance floor. And we go out and I just absolutely freaking own him, and he's like, I've never met anyone like you before. And I'm like, I know that.
I've never met anybody like me before.
I know that. Yeah, that's what I said to him.
And then she does a tip of the hat, does a click of the heels, goes like
vanishes
with her hands. And there is a poof of smoke, but she's still there. And then
there
you
is
see
a poof
her
of smoke, and then it smells really bad. And you're like, wait a minute.
Then you kind of see her take off, hoping that the little bit of smoke,
Phoebe,
that she did let out there.
You can barely see her because, one, she's absolutely just a sliver of a girl. And because, number two, she is so freaking fast. So freaking fast. So you say he can barely see her, I hope.
Anyway, so he was in Pittsburgh meeting Simiamantha, and unfortunately he was pulled away from this because he had to go take care of his dad.
Yeah. Nice excuse.
With the news we find out later in the episode, he probably is out gallivanting around Mount Lebanon still.
Well, he is. The idea is that potentially he could be visiting Ellie in prison, kind of figuring everything out. And so they're like, okay, well, Toby, obviously Cadet Kavanaugh is our way in. And Spencer, it's amazing how quickly she jumps to protect him from anything that could put him in harm's way. I'm like, so he's literally a cop. He's begging for it. He literally
has been preparing to
be put in harm's way.
It's not like he became a cop before you guys started dating, before all of this happened, and he was a cop as all of this started. She became a cop
to protect you,
and now he's switching up.
Hannah,
now
and
he's
Spencer's
now
like,
he's with the boys in blue.
Spencer's like, you know what? No, Toby, I don't see any reason to stray from the original plan. As always, we will have Hannah do the dirty work, okay? And I don't want you getting involved in this, okay? It's too dangerous. Hannah's got it. Oh, but Hannah can't do anything this weekend to help because she's
going to Ballard College.
And she got into like a million schools. And Spencer goes, how many schools did you get into? And it's like, at least feign happiness, Spence, for like
one
second.
And Arya can't even talk about it. Arya actually is so unbelievable this episode.
She
finally remembered that Emily's alive and like is suddenly Emily's her best friend.
I know we're going to get there, but you know when she brings her the second letter to read and we find out she's already sent it, it's like, then why did you bring it for her to read? Because
literally,
you thought it was really good and you wanted her to be like, wow, this is amazing.
Like,
you have to
like
show Z. He's not even going to care. It's
when
that
you
good.
When you write an essay in college or in high school, and it's like normally with your essays, you want your parents to have nothing to do with it at all.
But you're like, this is a good one.
But
I'm printing
then
an extra copy.
There's that one essay that you're like, okay, I kind of ate with this one.
That was my signature move. I would always bring home my papers, and I really don't think they were often flipped through, but I did bring them home every time because they were always something to be proud of. Honestly, it's just true. It's just the truth. Okay, so Arya thinks Holbrook is like Wildon, and Hannah's like, he is not like Wildon. He's just a bad kisser. And this is the first the girls are hearing of this. And
I also
Spencer
want to say, Hannah classifies him fully as a bad kisser. Hannah, you kissed him in the middle of public. It was a peck, and he didn't know it was coming. And yeah, you're a minor. So he probably was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, you know what? No, Phoebe, well, that, he been. That wouldn't have bought that been what bothered him.
Right.
He would have been like, right. Next time, just make sure I'm ready for it. But the age is just a number, babe. Age is just a number. And she's like, well, you know, we kissed because, like, he helped my mom and Travis's dad. And Spencer says, whatever happened to a thank you card? And then she goes, okay, but wait, seriously, how many schools did you get into? She just cannot let it go.
And Arya goes like this. And this is actually an episode that I think Megan Albatross could study because Arya goes,
yes. There's also a perfect Emily moment that I actually rewound and recorded
for her.
Because I was like, okay, this actually, she's now reminding me of Megan Albatross. Like, and you know what it is? It's after the chef and her like reconcile.
Oh, I can't do it. I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But so they're in the pottery class now. It's Emily and Emily follows Arya into the pottery class.
Arya walks in like in a frenzy.
And by the way, guys, as soon as we walked in here, I said, oh, no, I know what episode this is.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I said, oh, no. I remember this.
Yeah.
And
I bet.
Emily comes in. Ezra texted Arya and was like, the grand opening is tomorrow of the brew. And he's super stressed out about it.
He doesn't think they have enough stuff, whatever. And Emily's
like,
they
hired publicists.
Very
bizarre.
Wait
until you guys see this place. It's just the same building.
Wait until you guys see what he's wearing. Anyway, we find out that Emily was going to ask Ezra for a raise because she wants to get a plane ticket to go see Paige. And Paige, we find out, hasn't been answering any of her calls, texts, emails. So I don't know why Emily thinks showing up there is going to be
Paige,
a good idea.
Emily, you gotta stop.
Emily, hey, if you're chasing after the girl who drowned you, that's like textbook, babe. We gotta skedaddle on out of there.
I'm on Paige's side here. She's giving you clear messages.
Yeah, Emily is giving Paige the ick, low-key. And
Arya is like, when Emily brings up that she wants to go see Paige, she was like, I've even been looking at liberal arts colleges in Oregon. And Arya goes, Em, I really can't talk about this right now. But doesn't specify what part of the conversation is triggering her. So Emily's like, wait, you can't talk about me and Paige? Or like, what's making you react like this?
Arya also starts fully crying. Like, Emily says two things about college. She says the thing Phoebe said, and then she also says, my mom won't let me touch my college savings, which, like, hey, Em, that's normal. and by the time Emily gets to the Oregon thing, Arya's eyes are bright red, full of tears. And she's like, I just can't. Okay. And it's, I mean, this episode, Arya is so firmly planted
it's
in Mimi land that it was actually like one eye roll after another. And she basically tells Emily, okay, I've been rejected from every single college. I did get waitlisted from this one college, but like, I know this is A. And Emily takes the more logical approach. She's like, okay, well, if you were waitlisted, maybe you could like write a letter and try to, you know, persuade them. And Arya's like, no, you don't understand. This is Allison's revenge. And it's like, okay, but maybe so. I don't think so, but maybe so.
I feel like
it's still your situation. So take
Arya just wants someone to look at her and say, you know, college isn't for everybody. And you know, real artists
go to college.
Just immediately get their hands dirty. They don't waste their time on all that.
Do you think Vincent Van Gogh went to college? No, he cut off his ear. Okay, try that.
And she takes her skull candy headphones off.
She goes, well, I already tried that, Em. Thanks a lot. anyway, Emily's shirt also says, I was up till 5 a.m.
which is weird because she's not, she hasn't yet done that. I just got dust why? In my eye. That's awesome.
Why does your shirt say that? Who cares?
I don't know, but we should get you that.
No, we shouldn't. I would never stay up. That's where I draw the line. If the clock
when the
says...
Sun, when the sun comes
no,
up.
If the clock
Caroline's
gets...
fully a vampire.
If the clock gets to like 4, I'm like, okay, you have to go to bed. That's when I'm like, Caroline, it's actually, you have to go to bed now. Close your eyes and actually, don't open them. It's actually time for sleep now.
Should I start tracking my moods?
You're driving me nuts. Oh my God. Oh
why?
My God. It's because you're like... just being so like I think fruits are sweet. That's like kind of how you're being.
Wait, guys, you'll never believe this. We were eating a sheet cake recently.
Mm-hmm.
As a family. As a whole family.
As a whole we all just sat around the sheet cake and we didn't use utensils even. We
or
just
hands.
Hum.
It was like
hungry, hungry
bobbing.
Hippos vibes.
No, but our mom put together a little get together. And there was a sheet cake involved. And mom's eating it. And what does she say? I hear out of the corner of my ear.
This is spicy.
She says, ugh, I just can't eat all this. This icing is way too sweet.
Mom. That's actually like so out of character. It's kind of concerning.
I was like, whoa.
And a hush fell over the room.
Because yeah, speaking of, she used to famously say that she wanted to figure out how to engineer a cake to be
that was like all
mostly
icing,
and the cake is the icing.
Yeah, that's rich coming from her, given the attitude she displayed this weekend. Speaking of a hush falling over the room, I just do need to say we will be talking about Anna Marie Tendler's memoir and everything that's going on. In Tuesday's episode, so just...
Oh, I haven't read it.
You don't need to read it. It's just...
The only
just
thing I saw was that TikTok that I sent you. Because I was okay, we aren't the only girls on the internet with access to microphones being called mean for no reason.
That was actually the greatest. I, like, needed to see that so bad. I was like, I...
She said exactly what Caroline has said. And
oh,
she,
my God.
I think it was the Celebrity Memoir Book Club podcast. And she was like, okay... You're calling me a mean girl for reacting to media that I've taken in, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm reacting negatively to something that I disagree with, and that makes me a mean girl.
Uh-huh.
But what does that make you then?
So if then
you're doing the same thing, it's just with a different kind of media.
You listen to my art and my media, you have a negative opinion about it, you go write and put that opinion out into the world, same exact thing. So we're both mean girls, and that's fine, but just call it what it is, you know?
So as Emily goes to leave, we hear someone in the back go, hey, it's the bell rang a millisecond ago.
I agree.
Are you in this class? First of all, you probably know she's not. Third of all, chill out.
Did you say first of all and then go straight to third?
Did I?
I so think you did.
I do think my mouth remembers saying third.
Yeah, no, you did say third. I just was like, did I completely dissociate and miss number two? But I don't think I did. that's so funny. Sorry. Okay. But wait, what were you just saying? There was something I was going to say about it and I just lost it.
Are you in this class?
Oh. Yeah. Why is the security better at Rosewood High School than it is at the
Rikers
penitentiary?
Island.
Yeah. Hey, why? I can't wait to add Rikers Island to our map of Rosewood.
And it's geographically correct.
Of course.
We go to the De Laurentiis. I forgot what they are. Law office. Real estate. They're real estate. And honestly, Rosewood is just a town of freaking Game of Life jobs. We have
so true.
A lawyer, a real estate, a teacher, and an assistant.
And a pastor. And a hey, don't forget about the pastor. I know it might be easy right now.
Okay, I thought it was strange that we got a reference to... We don't get a reference to Pastor Ted in months.
And we get one.
And then we get one.
Plain as day.
And so the writers wanted us to know that Ashley's still in this relationship.
What? Hey, actually,
put a pin
you know
in
what?
That. Put a pin in that.
Why are the writers coming for Ashley Marin like this?
You're right.
I blame them. Just how Arya blames A for not getting into college, I blame the writers for what Ashley's doing.
So they're talking about how they're going to transfer all of Jess's documents over to Jason. And Jason calls her out and says, you've been looking for new jobs, haven't you? And he begs her to stay, gets on his hands and knees.
And this is just so weird to me because it's like, as Phoebe said, Rosewood is a town.
This is the first time they've been on screen together ever.
But also Rosewood is a town of Game of Life jobs where you can just up and leave or stay for one more month. Or it's just like willy-nilly vibes, you know? Rosewood jobs are willy-nilly vibes. And we've always said that. And that's true. But so she's like pissed off about it. She goes, if you leave, I'll be stuck with a random person, like, and whatever. And Ashley's like, yeah, that'd actually probably be better because I know way too much about your situation. And he literally says to her, is there anything I can say to get you to stay for 1 month so I feel confident enough to say that I belong here and really believe
and
it?
And she said with her eyes,
hell yeah.
No, but there is something you can do for me later on tonight. I'm going to leave envelope here so that you have to bring it by my house tonight. Hannah's out of town.
Yeah. She said, no, there's nothing you can say. Anywho, Tanner has issued another search behind Mona's house, which everyone thinks is crazy because, like, why are we still looking? And Toby is looking and he sees this knife with blood on it in the woods.
Hey, crazy idea. The boyfriend of someone who was friends with the deceased and
friends,
the person,
and let's put the target of the deceased.
The person who was previously being looked at as a suspect and was also friends with the person who's actually behind bars for the crime. He probably shouldn't be around on this search.
This is not appropriate in one bit. I was at first, when he covers it up and leaves, I was like, oh my God, are they trying to insinuate that Toby killed Mona? And I honestly would have liked it if they ran with that a little bit more. But literally immediately, we find out it's actually his family's knife from his family's cabin. So that's why he doesn't want it to be found. And at first, I was like, well, why didn't you just take it and put it in your pocket? And later, when we see that it's a full-on machete,
it's fucking massive.
I'm like, why were we all using it? Caleb's like, I've used it a million times. Like, for what? Actually,
but
for
also,
what?
Caleb is in his Arya era.
He
spent one afternoon with Arya helping her figure out why she wasn't getting into schools.
He goes, hey, this is the life.
Suddenly it's Caleb.
Oh, Phoebe, it's so funny you say that because I literally wrote later on, Caleb was in his me era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like the song.
And again, that's true. and that's true.
And we haven't always said that about him.
No, we haven't. But now we are. And now we've said it. And we don't say it.
God, Camille really went off with that line.
No, she really.
And
Camille,
now we've said it.
Camille gave us a lot. And I don't know if we're always as grateful as we should be. And if you don't know who we're talking about, Camille Grammer from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 1 and 2.
She was fully on the cover of People magazine after the first season of Beverly Hills and was called the most hated housewife in history.
Well, never forget that Dad had a poster of her in his room when he was a teenager.
I can picture Dad walking into the den the night that Beverly Hills aired for the first time. And Dad, like, just kind of, like, he's so nonchalant. He has an Uptown cookie in his hand. He walks in and he goes, is that Camille Grammer?
Actually, you're right.
And that mom's like, yeah, it is. And Dad's like, I had a poster of her in my room as a kid.
I actually think mom saw it.
Hey, girls. She was a smoke show back in the day.
Oh, my God. Anyway, okay. So,
Caroline absolutely hated that.
Yeah, I know, I hated it. Just kidding. So Spencer's like, okay, well, Toby, I don't know why you're here. Run back in the woods and get it. We want to get rid of it. And Toby's like, no, I think we need to submit it to evidence. Spencer's convinced the knife is a plant, but Toby thinks it could put Allie away for good. Maybe it could, but it could also implicate others. Him, Caleb, Spencer, whoever. And Caleb and Spencer, a little too close for comfort this up, if you ask me.
Toby says this is about doing the right thing. And Caleb says, don't you get it? There is no such thing as the right thing. It's do it by the book or save our asses. And that's when Spencer
completely misheard that line. For some reason, I thought he said there's only bite the bullet or save our ass. And I was like so not sure about it when I wrote it. And so I was really excited to see what you were going to say. That's why I stopped talking.
Whoa.
Because I wanted to see what you were going to say. And it wasn't
I believe it's by the book.
Okay. Love it. So Spencer's so torn.
She's torn, but not for too long.
No. Ultimately, she's like, we shouldn't do anything. Wink, wink. She basically winks at the camera. So we go to the brew. And
by the way, all three of them essentially wink. By the end of the episode, we realize that they all had the same idea.
Yes, basically, yeah. Actually, yeah, and I kind of wish they had all shown up at the same time so we could have that, like, Spider-Man meme. Yes. Anyway,
like
we're at the brew.
Like a SpongeBob episode.
Mm-hmm. So we're at the brew. Ezra Style is so
guys,
on the nose.
I am batting 1,000 tonight with my jokes. Every single one is landing.
It's the lag. It's because I keep talking and then you immediately come in with a joke while I'm already talking. But you can't control that and neither can I. So it's just like the simple joys of maidenhood. And maidenhood in this instance is us recording the podcast virtually. Anyway, Ezra's style is so on the nose it's not even funny because it just says the word books freaking everywhere. He's like, who says I need to hire an interior designer? I know what I want the vibe to be. Books.
He literally, like, on these genre things, he made a stencil in Aria's Cricut machine without, like, really knowing how to use it or, like, how to best applicate the, like, but he didn't use it to, like, make it a sticker. He used it as a stencil and he, like, spray painted. When dad had this thing from when he was in the Marines that has our last name on it. It's like a stencil. And he put it on the amp when we started doing all our gigs back in the day.
Right, right, right.
And he thought it was going to look so cool. But it wasn't tight enough on the, you can go look at it to this day. It's in the basement.
It wasn't tight enough
on the amp. It's just kind of a blob.
That's a bummer.
He was so excited.
That's kind of sad. It's so unlike dad to like
but it's like anytime dad has an idea like that where it's like he does something for like the idea of him ordering himself darts.
Yeah.
So he can go down in the garage.
Well,
and throw them by himself.
Get this. Today we went to Little Tokyo as a family and then they were like, Are you mad?
Louis leaving.
Are you mad?
Like, no, I was just like, no, I was like, why?
Phoebe, literally her face, right? She was like, what? Like, Phoebe, are we not allowed to have dinner without number one telling you or inviting you? You're in Nashville. Oh my God. Anyway, so yeah, we had dinner and afterwards they were like, oh, we have cookie cake and regular cake at home if you guys want some.
There's something that I hate more than the fact that I know that sheet cake is still in that house.
Are you having serious FOMO?
Of the sheet cake, yeah.
Yeah, of Little Tokyo followed by sheet cake and cookie cake. So yeah, so there are two cakes at the house and they were like, come on back. And I was like, well, I need to go finish watching the episode. But Anthony was like, well, I'll come back. And so Anthony comes back in. He's like, oh, your dad's so funny. He's a man. We get back. He just immediately goes down in the garage, opens the garage after they park in the driveway, turns on the TV, starts playing darts with himself. Like, you didn't get an invite.
Dad down there with his athletic beer.
Him turning on the TV and just starting. So I guess he does use that TV.
Well, I haven't seen it in use. But
I haven't, but I apparently Anthony has. So there we go.
So anyway,
there's some guy in a newsboy cap and a Ramones shirt. And I wrote, Aria's about to be sunk.
I know. This is also giving, like, if someone different styled Gossip Girl, and this is Dan Humphrey.
Oh my God. Big time. Yes. And Aria's so unfriendly. It's not even funny.
But what's new?
Yeah, well, that's true. And we have Ezra, who's also not being friendly because he's so stressed. And he's like, oh, there's going to be a guy tonight from Vassar. You can talk to him. It's going to be great. And Aria just completely has not told him about any of the colleges. Mm-hmm. Keeps saying she hasn't heard from any, whatever.
By the way, the guy in the Ramones t-shirt Arya sunk because he looks at her and can tell just from looking at her that she has an artistic eye.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, can I use your eye? And Arya's like, well,
oh,
don't
my God.
Normally give advice for free.
She's like, an artist has to value her work. Okay, but
exactly. Guys, this just in. Dad found out about Gina Rowlands.
Oh no, the notebook guy.
And he even used
an emoji.
That's even worse because.
Oh, you're right. That is way worse. That is. Oh God.
That's why I texted that. In the chat.
The emoji. His caterer, Ezra's caterer, quits. And Emily's like, let me do it. Please, God, let me do it. I've never cooked anything in my life, but I can do this. I know I can. And you're going to give me extra money, and I'm going to use it to get back with my girl.
Are you crazy, Emily?
I thought you were about to ask me if I'm crazy. I'm like, is that not what happened?
Oh, that is what happened. Ezra goes, did you even take home ec?
Ezra and Arya are the last family on Earth you would want to have to babysit for. Yes.
They're giving that one family.
They're giving, like, don't eat the food in the cabinets.
So then we go back to the De Laurentiis office. He gives Emily the job. We go back to the De Laurentiis office, and the phone rings, and Ashley answers it, and it's, guess what? Riker's Island. And it's Allie. Allie does that voice that you're talking about when she says her name.
Yes.
She goes, Allison.
Yes.
De Laurentiis.
Allison De Laurentiis. I can't even
like
do it.
Bruce
it's so
Wayne.
Good. I know. It's so good. Well, Allie thinks it's going to be Jason. And honestly, until this very moment, Phoebe, and well, until you first said it, I thought they were at Ashley's office for some reason. So now I'm like, why the fuck did she answer the phone? But okay.
She's the assistant. But I am like, okay, you had an opportunity there, Ashley, to say, hey, Jason, it's Rikers Island.
Hey, Jason. Yeah. It's not like it immediately went into the phone call. You had to accept the call. It had to say, you're receiving a call. So anyway.
And then she puts it on Jason.
Ashley Marin, you little nosy biatch. She's like, ooh.
I would have. Oh, my God. Imagine our mom.
Can you imagine getting a call that starts in such an exciting way? Out of nowhere? You're not expecting
and
it?
And it's the neighborhood girl who is in jail for killing another neighborhood girl.
I guess for these people, it's actually not that exciting because it's like something that could happen anytime. And it's usually someone you don't want to hear from. But anyway. Allie wants to talk to Jason, and Jason's like, no, I'm not here. So Ashley is like, sorry, you're going to have to talk to him later. Hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today. And she is not happy with Jason for making her lie to Allie. We find out that Jason has seen Allie once in jail and he's like, I can't go back. And I think she's guilty. So
she says, Jason, please don't make me do that again. He didn't make you do that the first time.
No, he really, you're right, but...
You pressed one on that phone call.
Oh, man. So, Hannah is walking through Ballard with her little nerdy tour guide, and Hannah's holding a stuffed animal. What, is this to make her look more approachable? Confused.
No, I think that it was, like, maybe she was literally such a sought-after student that she had a welcome package when she got there.
Oh, my God, I hope. But, like, we're not going to get a single... I know we need the bear.
It's like a little Ballard stuffed animal.
Oh, I didn't really.
So I just kind of assumed that it was like a gift from the school.
But this is when Hannah tells this girl that her mother is dating a pastor. So we make no bones about it.
This is actually the second time. Because she brings up, did I tell you that, like, whoever the fuck Mr. Ballard was a minister? And Hannah says, yes, you already did. Remember, I told you that my mom is dating one.
You're right. So she doubled down.
Yeah, you heard that right. Dating.
So
present tense.
the tour guide goes into the office to get something, and Hannah calls Caleb and tells him that her buddy has verbal diarrhea. The back of a cereal box is more interesting than this girl.
Could you believe this? What Caleb does right here?
Caleb's like, can we focus on me for a sec?
Caleb is on the phone. This freaking hacker of all hackers is on the phone. He knows what technology is capable of. And he says into the phone, we found a bloody knife and my prints could be on it, essentially. Do you think that when eventually, because you know you're going to fuck it up, you know that this plan is going to be foiled no matter how foolproof you think it is, something bad is going to happen, and there's going to be a search warrant, and they're going to find this phone call.
What if we find out that, like, everything Spencer and Caleb did was for naught because they actually tapped Caleb's phone and they were already, like, found out?
They're all brought in for questioning. And why isn't everybody else? Sometimes I think I sell myself short and I'm like, I'm not smart enough to do this because I'm not smart like Spencer. But then I have these moments where I'm like, actually, I wouldn't be in these situations because I'm that smart.
And this is going to be one of those moments where those girls are going to say, I belittle my own sister, which is like, okay, if I can't belittle my own sister, who am I going to belittle?
Can't I?
Like, I think it's Phoebe. Phoebe gets it. Anyway, this is where they're going to say
her
that.
And her sister's no better. She's laughs along.
Yeah. That's because I have a gun pointed at Phoebe's head through the Zoom computer screen.
And in case you guys didn't know, that would work. That would work.
But anyway, Phoebe, wait, fuck, I just forgot. Oh, I was going to say, you're like, sometimes I'm like, I could never do this because I'm like, I'm not smart like Spencer. But then I'm like, wait, I got that. And I'm like, yeah, Phoebe, you've watched the show 7 times. I hope that's where your brain went. No offense, but like.
Well, this shit doesn't
happen. Like, she's like, and finally, I was one step ahead.
What we're proposing isn't what happens in the show. This isn't what happened in real life.
Okay.
This show keeps my mind sharp as a tack.
So the tour guide comes back out. Well, because Hannah's like, all right, I'm coming home. And Caleb's like, no, stay. Don't worry about me. And of course.
That's what A wants.
Yeah. Well, you know Hannah can't stay put when her friends need her. So the tour guide comes back out. And like, again, I know we need the spare, but it would have been much more effective if like the tour guide comes out and is like, Hannah, and then looks down like the bear's on the ground. And it's like, oh, she's gone. You know?
Oh my god.
What do you think the tour guide did the rest of the day?
Hopefully
she knows she freaked out.
You know she totally
freaked. Was like, god damn it. This was my one chance to be a tour guide. Oh my god. Oh my god, I lost her. Ah! You know.
Wait, imagine if there's a tour guide society on a college that does this, they pick one person in like the new class of tour guides. And they plant someone in the groups of like the trips where you have to like stay with the person.
Oh my god.
And they plant someone so that they go missing, and you have to, and it's like a big prank, and you have to see how the tour guide responds.
And the craziest thing is that, hey, tour guides are not RAs. That would not be the tour guide's job to find the missing person.
No, there were certain tour guides who would like host a college or a high school.
Sorry.
Stay in their dorm.
Do you want to know something hilarious? So I went to a school where we didn't do the overnights, like we didn't host students overnight, but for the honors college, I guess there was like this one girl who, I don't remember where she was from, but she was coming and she wanted to stay. I don't remember what it was. So the honors college asked me if I would host her. I know. Why me? Why the bully?
Crazy ass.
Why a straight up bully?
Have you seen the reviews online?
Of this girl, you could not have her stay here. Hospitality 0/10. But yeah, so they had, I can't remember her name right now, but it was the night that the cast of Fun Home, you know, Fun Home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for those of you who don't, it is a graphic novel that was turned into a musical, and it's a really great musical, but the subject matter is like, it's about, you know, a queer father, and there's some inappropriate sexual misconduct and stuff, and like there's a whole, it's this whole, that's the basis of the whole story. And so my freshman year of college, that was our like book of the year, and every incoming freshman got it. And you know where I went to college, the College of Charleston in South Carolina. So you can imagine how this was taken. There were a lot of unhappy parents with the fact that this book had been given to their students to read. And so it was this huge thing, like, you know, like a burn book kind of situation. And then the entire Broadway cast of Fun Home came down to Charleston because they heard about it. And they did like a musical review of the show and like sold tickets for like $10 or something and did it at this auditorium. And like it was like to fight back at the people who were like, Fun Home like isn't a story that should be told. And it was so cool. But anyway, that was the night the girl was there. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I have actually tickets to something really important. And so they ended up getting her a ticket so she could come with. I don't think she really like appreciated it, but I also had to talk to like a child actor who was like, and what's your name? And I was like, Caroline. And she was like, and do you want to do this too one day? And I was like, I'm actually going to clobber you. I'm actually going to clobber you. I was probably, no, you know what? No, I wasn't. I was nice. So anywho,
I bet I can't wait till we have that little girl on the pod.
That little girl,
she's probably like my age now.
Oh yeah. So Arya comes into the kitchen where Emily is working. She's hard at work,
she's on fire.
And she has the letter that she wrote to try to persuade this college to let her in, and Emily's reading it. Actually, I'm like, okay, Emily, you've changed. Emily has a backbone, and anyone who says this she doesn't needs to watch this episode.
This is our mom reading our essays. Like that, literally, it's due in 8 hours, and it's like completely done. And it's been like conference with like four people, and like at school, I showed it to Caroline, and then mom's the last set of eyes because she literally begged to read it, and she's like, Fee, don't you think the 5-paragraph essay is a little tired? What if we just rearrange this a little bit?
Yeah, it's always like, why don't
it's
we, you know what?
It's 11 p.m.
Let's go back to the drawing board. And I think you will be happy you did. We're going to switch it around.
Reread the book. See if you can pull some different quotes out.
And she's like, okay, well, you know what? If that's how it's supposed to be, if this is the right way to do it, what do I know? I haven't been in school in a long time.
Hey, MB, if you didn't want my help, you shouldn't have. Like, all right. Yeah, you know, okay, I can't say anything.
She's going to hate this part of the podcast almost as much as she hated our Olympics coverage.
We'll get to that on Tuesday.
So Emily's definitely not blown away. She's like, okay, you need to be a little more personal. And Arya
goes,
I need. She's like, how?
She goes, emotional.
What do you want me to do? Tell them my social security number? Like, she flips out.
Do you want to tell them this is 2 weeks late? Because suffocated last week?
It kind of is giving Blake Lively when they're like, and for anyone who wants to talk to you about this movie, like, how can they chat with you about this? And she's like, yeah, let me just give you my mailing address and my cell phone number and my social security. Yeah, do you just
Did
want all
she
that?
She actually do that?
Yes.
Okay, yes. She's got to dial back a little bit.
That one, I was like, you know Taylor is like pacing around her fucking apartment like, Jesus Christ! And Travis,
she's
like,
he's like, but I really like Ryan. And
Travis has his helmet on, by the way. No reason.
No reason. That's when you came in wearing your foot helmet
and said, okay, let's talk.
How many times do you think he's done that over the course of their relationship?
He walks in. There's like a night that she gets like kind of pissed at him and he walks in. Okay, let's talk. She's like, please go sleep in the other room. So Arya's taking it very personally. She's freaking out. She's like spouting off and basically says, you know, you can't spiral if you're already crashed and I didn't get into a single college. And that's when Ezra walks in and heard it. I mean, Phoebe, how mortifying if you're Arya dating your English teacher and you've talked a big
Who's
fucking 30? Talk
Who's
and you don't
30?
Get into a single school. This actually, Arya, I will give it to you. This is the most humiliating thing I can imagine.
And you've had a lot of them.
And as Phoebe, wait, you mean of Arya has? You don't mean me.
Well, of course not.
Who did you really mean?
Well, Aria, but to insinuate you have none.
I have none, literally. But I did, mom did remind me that, not to flex, but I did get my first skinny knee at the 1996 Olympics.
What did you hear on Giggly Squad? They were like, who even goes to the Olympics? And I was like, anyone who wants to. Except for me, if you're born 4 years late. Mom and dad didn't take me to Athens, Greece.
No, Phoebe, you're missing. We were invited. We were invited. They heard about me.
Right.
And I was like, guess you've heard.
1 year on the scene.
Guess you've heard. I walk in, they push me down. And they were like, sorry, you look like too fierce of a competitor. We were nervous. You were going to try to start running the track. We had to push you so you get a skin knee. Now you can't. And I cried.
There's no skin knees allowed.
And that's when they started calling me Scrapes. So Aria says, and also, this is the most Aria way to deliver this news to your boyfriend. He goes, like, what's going on? And she goes, nobody wants me. Aria, I actually am tapping out here. Girl. Let me try this again. I didn't get into any colleges. Nobody wants me. You know she wanted him to say, that's not true.
I want you.
I want you. I need
Instead,
you.
Instead, Ezra
says, I
want
you. I need you. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Ezra says, that's not true. You didn't get into Talmadge because my ex-girlfriend works there.
I love how, though, both of them live in this world where they can make excuses for anything because it couldn't possibly be them. She's like, oh, Jackie works there and she hates me. And he's like, and even better, she hates me.
And it's like, well, what about all the other ones?
I wrote that too. He's like, don't even write the letter. Like, who cares? And literally I wrote, so what about all the other schools you didn't get
so
into?
Suddenly her safety school slam dunk school is her number one.
And she's so freaking stoked. She'll do literally anything to get in.
We'll see. Literally anything.
Spencer needs to watch it. She arrives to Caleb's house like a bat out of hell to yell at him. Because
she goes,
Hannah got mad
seriously?
At Spencer. Seriously?
She literally, seriously?
That's actually secrets Tom Sandoval.
Seriously. Well, Sandoval coming here later.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. That was one of the jaw-dropping moments.
Which is how you know that this episode really... It wasn't amazing.
Okay, fair.
Spencer says, secrets have the shelf... What's the shelf life of secrets around here? Something like that.
Okay. That's a stupid question.
Well, it wasn't my question.
I know. I didn't say it was. So Caleb has all this stuff on the bed and Spencer's like, oh my God, you're going to go back for the knife. I'm busting you. I'm totally freaking busting you. And he's
we
like,
get
okay,
into Spencer's car
well.
And she has camouflage outfits.
She has black face paint.
They're both embroidered
like,
with their names on them. She knew Caleb was going to be getting ready to do the same thing.
Literally,
before she even walked in
spray.
There.
She's off bracelets. But she's like, he's like, listen, I can't go down for this. I already had a thing with suspected murder. Wait, if you say some shit about a ghost in Ravenswood,
Caleb,
you gotta drop it.
It's so much more stupid than
the
that.
The show
though.
Is
he was
canceled.
Like hacking. He was hacking for some people in Allentown, I guess, and things got a little crazy.
I'm like, sounds like Allentown, which I don't even know if I've ever been there, but I just know it's like a place close, kind of. And so if he gets taken in on another charge, he's not going to be okay. And this is where I wrote, Caleb, this is a little me. Like, you aren't going to go down for this. You are honestly, like, adjacent to this, but you are not, you need to, enough. Seems like somebody needs to feel a little important.
I know A is involved, but you guys do all need to remember that you didn't kill Mona. So, like, everybody should take a little bit of a breath here.
Anyway, so Aria is literally wearing the shirt that I'm making this graphic that I'm
going to
put
up.
Dude,
I made a note of that.
I was like, no way, I nailed it. And not only is she wearing a shirt that is the exact shirt, basically, that I put on this thing, it's a confidence shirt. Did
and
you
make
know, a note of that?
You know when Aria saw the 7-Eleven music video and saw Beyonce and that, she was like... Are you serious? Like,
okay, she's one of the girls who found Chapel Row in
I bet
March
she's not even vegan. No, don't give her that. No, she didn't.
I said March 2024. It's not that impressive.
I was like, this girl did not.
March 2024.
Okay, yes, but now she's acting
and
like.
And then when Coachella happened, she was like, God, seriously? Yeah, she like was upset about it.
My I mean, I want everybody to enjoy her, but
I'll never get
this.
To
this
her
is a hard. This is a hard rise. This is a hard rise to stardom to watch when you truly were.
Yeah,
there
you
from
were.
The beginning.
You were, and you know what's so cool?
What
is that? Some of my friends think I was there from the beginning.
Man, if only they knew
funny.
The truth.
And it's funny.
If only they knew the truth.
I wasn't. I was just there like over a year before they were. So they mm-hmm. can't imagine she existed before that time. And I'm like, I know. No, I don't think she did. Just kidding. I always give you credit, okay?
Thank God. So anyway.
We both go, we.
Aria is just like Googling Jackie Molina, looking at pictures of her, looking at Talmadge, et cetera, et cetera. Then this is what I hate.
Yeah, the
then
montage.
We go to Emily and she's cooking, and then we go back to Aria and she's writing this letter now. And Lucy Hale is like acting.
She's
writing this, and this
in
is
her eye.
This is her face as she's writing.
Yeah, it is like Carrie Bradshaw is writing such a like blasphemous piece about one of her ex, about Mr. Big, and like is pressing send after two Cosmos and is like feeling so good
and
about
a pack
it.
Of this, cigarettes,
and we're watching it from the other side of her laptop. She says, could it be maybe I was I don't know.
She so never said she was a writer of Sex and the City.
I never said that. Literally, I never did.
And
so,
we've always said that.
And we've never said that. So Ezra then walks in on Emily at the end of the montage and sees that there's literally nothing done. And he's like, so maybe now would be a good time for me to call in a professional chef. And I know that he's in the right, but he still pisses
me off. He's being
an
asshole about it, but I'm
still
also like, Emily,
give it
Emily,
up.
You don't want this.
This is like actually a situation I would get myself into.
Yeah.
and mom would be like, Goose, why do you, Goose, don't do this again, okay? Do not do this again. Why do you get yourself into these situations? Goose, just
Caroline's
do the bare
like
minimum,
that.
Okay?
I'm not calling you a side character.
Well, you couldn't.
But just listen to what I'm going to say.
You couldn't tell
Caroline,
the truth and say that.
Caroline is like that side character in a sitcom who is always like off doing something. Like she like walks into the living room at like halfway into the episode and she's like, sorry, she's covered in like mud.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like she's like, I got commissioned to build the next Empire State Building. It's like
there's always a side quest, and sometimes it's like major and you're like, is this even a side quest? Shouldn't this be the main quest? And it's like, it can't be the main quest. There's
it's
already
like,
a main quest.
Did you ever watch Austin and Ally?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember her name, but the character went a different job every episode. And
yes,
she'd just like waltz into
yeah.
the store in like a different uniform.
Yes.
That's Caroline in this supposed sitcom. And she's just like, she's like, yeah, they asked me to be the vice president today. I just like, and I couldn't say no.
It literally is.
Have you seen the guy?
It literally is. And
she's like, and you wouldn't even believe it. I already booked the afternoon. I have to build a bulldozer.
They said that I have to build a house and I need to make it light up, but I can't use any electricity. So I said, okay, no problem. That's actually what I'm really good at.
It's actually
I don't know how, but I'm going
to
learn.
Make a house.
I'm going to start learning.
Yeah. You know the people on YouTube that like build into the mud? They like, you don't know how these people have technology, but they have a phone and they're like, building like these pools out of the clay in the jungle. Like that's Caroline randomly one episode.
And
she's
like, oh,
like,
well,
I ran
we'll
into someone who asked.
Yeah, yeah, someone needed help and I was there and I have hands. I have 2 hands, 2 feet.
and someone down the road told me I probably couldn't.
What else was I doing? They're like, you were on your way to your actual job. Okay.
Guys,
well.
Like, oh yeah, well that's what the night's for. That's what the hours 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. are for.
But at 4 a.m., then it's time to go to
bed. We're in bed.
It's time to try to sleep now, okay? And then you wake up at 8 and you do it all again. Anyway, I just keep thinking about that one review we have that's like chaotic and not in a good way. They go on a million tangents. It's impossible to follow along. And that is, we're going to get another review about this episode that says that.
Well, joke's
like,
on you because now we're in the RV park.
Now
and
we're back
Hannah's
in.
Here. Hannah's at the RV park And she's looking for Officer Holbrook's dad, James Holbrook. And then Ashley Marin calls. And
wait, I thought
Hannah,
she was looking for Hottie Holbrook. She just happens to find his dad.
No, she's looking for his dad because that's supposedly where Hottie Holbrook is taking care of him.
Oh,
so she wanted to find where the dad lives.
Ah, okay, okay, okay. Man, and here I was thinking this was a booty call. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hottie Holbrook dropped a pin and said, yeah, you up?
Anywho,
you're on a college visit? Sick.
Hey, why haven't we learned to turn our ringers off, though, Han?
And Spencer, this has been an ongoing issue this season.
It's really frustrating. And Hannah's mom calls, and it's like the weirdest phone call you can imagine. And we see this old man chopping up like animal organs. And Hannah's not deterred by this. She asks him for directions. And then she has to meet the next troll under the bridge as she has to pass. And it's
this
a creepy
fucking
kid on a bike.
This is like what I thought that Friday Night Frights was like at Kennywood.
Oh my God, ew. I never went.
Me either. I was like, you're telling me the only way into the park is a tunnel filled with fog and somewhere in there's a man with a chainsaw.
Like, that sounds
fucking horrible. Yeah, I'm good.
Horrible.
That's the only way in? The only way into the park.
It's actually a trap set for me. That's actually a trap set by the police.
Wait, it's a trap.
They're like, she will be arrested if she has to go through that tunnel. And she might not, and it might not come to physical blows, but emotionally, this man's gonna be
what she's doing.
A heap of
she's gonna be a
ground.
War criminal by the day time the day is over.
You actually can't imagine what she's capable of doing and unraveling inside his brain from the moment she walks into the tunnel to the moment she walks out and gets on a sky coaster.
So then there's a kid on a bike who like rides by Hannah, and Hannah like jumps 4 feet in the air, and she's like, "Do you know where James Holbrook is?" And he just says,
"Papa."
Something like that. And then Hannah, we get a cut to Caleb and Spencer starting their search, and that's really all that is for a second. Then we go back to Hannah, and she meets James, and we find out that Hottie Holbrook's dad hasn't seen him in weeks, and he's like, if anybody's gonna know where he is, I thought it was gonna be you. Mistaking Hannah for Allie, because then he says, are you out on bail or something?
And it's actually kind of hard to tell if Hannah clocks that. She's like, no.
It's, yeah.
It's like, and okay, I'm like, you don't Hannah. Actually have to tell him what you were doing, Hannah. It's actually weirder now that you did. But I'm also like, does
yeah,
his
because
dad
he's like,
know
wait.
How old Allie is? Yeah, it's so
he's
bizarre.
Like, wait, do they let inmates out for college visits? Inmates in there for suspected murder?
Right. And do they let them wear white jeans with that many rips? No way. So Spencer sees the knife in the woods. Caleb picks it up with a towel. And that's when I realize it's a full-on machete. And then Hannah's leaving. And this is just like, Hannah, I love you so much. And that's why I have to say this. You're stupid as fuck. She walks up. Every single one of her car doors is open. This is where I turn around and I say, hey, I know you're like creepy, but you didn't really do anything bad to me. And I trust you more than I trust whoever opened all my car doors. Can you walk me back to my car? Right?
Yeah.
I'm certainly not walking into it.
It wouldn't have changed the outcome, though. And I agree with it in terms of safety if this is the real world, but I'm glad she didn't, because imagine if she had brought a man up to her car. He would have thought this was like performance art. She walks up to her car, picks up the stuffed animal, pulls the string, and guts fall out of it. Imagine what that man would think.
But Phoebe, honestly, it would be so much better because poor Hannah, is wearing open-toe shoes. And no, that animal blood, guts, and gore goes all over her tootsies. And if there was a man there, maybe he could have taken that. Okay? And that would have taken one for the team. And yeah, I think that would have been preferable. Who cares if he thinks it's performance art? Literally, who cares? He'd be so lucky to experience that. And then we see the kid on the bike. And I'm like, was it you, you little shitbag? And I doubt it. But he rides his bike away.
Then we go to Emily's room, and apparently, I mean, in my head, it's 6 a.m. because Emily says that she just got home like 3 hours ago. She got like 3 hours of sleep. I'm assuming she was working there till like 3 a.m. So it's 6 a.m. Arya woke her up, we find out. Arya goes,
can't.
Oh, sorry, I woke you up.
She goes, you didn't say I woke you up. because well, Emily's like, I didn't go to bed, or like, I'm really tired. I didn't get much sleep. And she's like, you didn't say I woke you up. And then Arya gives her the letter. Emily reads it, and Arya's like, and it really is like she's just waiting for like to be showered in compliments.
She's waiting for Emily to say, wait, did you already submit this for the Nobel Prize?
Yeah.
For the Pulitzer?
Did you already submit this? Because I'm thinking, I know you wrote this for college, but I think we send this straight to a publisher. And we just completely skirt college altogether. This was all part of the
and
plan.
And Aria's like, finally.
She's like,
finally
someone
said it. I bombed my SATs on purpose.
I was just hoping to fast track. So Emily says, this is your way of getting personal. She's absolutely mortified for Aria. She's like, please, God, tell me you did not send this. And Aria's like, why? And Emily's like, tell me you didn't send it. And she's like, I did. Y'all, you will never believe what's on this paper.
Every thought that Aria Montgomery has compartmentalized
every
over the course of the last 4 years, every thought that she's ever had or has seen on Reddit pages for people that have been involved with their teachers,
every single one of those thoughts Phoebe and I have had while we've talked about this show is in this. It is a full-on sob story. It's her relationship with Ezra seen through non-rose-colored glasses.
Most people's eyes.
Yeah, it's like literally just talking about how it's like this basically abusive, inappropriate relationship. And Emily's like, Ezra would be like devastated if he saw this. And Aria's like, no, he wouldn't. It's as if she's like,
he
understands
it.
Creative integrity, okay? Creative freedom. And we do find out she already sent it. So again, why did you even bring it? Why did you wake Emily up this morning?
Yeah.
Why
and then Emily's
Spencer
like,
to read it?
Emily's like, I gotta go. And this is where we meet. We go to the brew and we meet Tom Sandoval's sister.
Gotta be Talia? An aunt. Gotta be an aunt.
Whoa.
It's not, I mean, I'm not, honestly, I'm like, I don't think she's the devil. And I can't imagine that anyone he's related to has a moral backbone. So I just would like to like separate them a little bit more, if you don't mind. Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
We meet her. She's a professional, chef. And Ezra's like,
so mad.
I just thought that like I want you here as a guest. Like I want you to relax tonight. And it's
he's
like, okay, you should have done this 4 days ago.
Yeah, and he's finally like using the verbiage that is the least offensive. It's like he's struck out so many times. This is all that was left. It's like
he struck out so many times with his normal tricks. He decided to be nice.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm still gonna pay you. And she's like, oh, I know you're still gonna pay me. And then she's like, well, this is really about more than that because I have aspirations. I want to be more than a barista, okay? He's like, okay, well, we'll talk about that later.
He's like, can we have this conversation when, like, this place isn't opening for the first time?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly what, like, Aria said. Yeah, I mean.
Imagine if I roll up to the new Iovino's the day they open and I say, but I have just, like, I can't believe no one asked me to be the head chef. I told you guys that I got food safe certified when I was working in Nashville at a deli. Making sandwiches and literally line out the door 3 hour wait. Rush.
What, do you not think I can handle it? What, do you not think I can do it?
Get me in there. Put me in there opening night. We'll see
coach.
Who can handle it.
I brought my own knives, of course. This isn't
They're just all knives from our house.
IKEA.
From mom's house. They're just like the ones we've been using for dinner.
And you're like, can I sharpen them here? So
they're like serrated knives,
like a bunch of them.
They're all serrated.
You're like,
they're just
ouch as you're pulling them out of your bag. You don't have them, and like you just threw them all in one
sharp.
Bag. Like the whole bag is like has knives sticking out, and it keeps hitting around your leg. Your leg is like gushing blood.
They're,
you're like,
they're in a Ziploc.
Comes with the territory.
Am I right?
Hazards of the job. So the chef is low key rude because she smells. Emily's making these empanadas and the
which
girl
made
smells
me crave
the filling.
Zorro's. So
is it so sad that it's gone? Every
oh
time
my
I drive
I
by,
actually
like
today
devastated.
While I was watching, I was like, are they actually closed or are they still in business?
No, they're closed.
Because those empanadas were so fucking
actually like one of the best things I've ever eaten. That chimichurri sauce, holy shit.
And we used to get, during the pandemic, we used to get those at least once a week.
We were big supporters of small businesses, small local businesses.
Yes.
AKA, we were takeout queens during COVID.
We had a whole system.
The chef is like, what the fuck is this? Smelling the filling. It smells gross. And Emily, this is actually so funny. Shay Mitchell takes a piece of dough, slams it on the ground. And she goes, if I wanted advice, because the girl's trying to give her advice for the dough because it was in the refrigerator. Emily goes, if I wanted advice, I'd ask my mother. She and I go way back. And then she like jams the rolling pin across the table as if to just hurdle herself across the table and tackle poor Talia Sandoval.
Yes. And then we go to the Hastings Castle and Caleb shows up and he's like, I couldn't get rid of it.
Useless.
Okay. Men have one job an episode and they can never fucking do it. And Spencer's like, fine, I'll get rid of it. And suddenly Caleb is like, wait, no, we have to think about this. And it's like, okay, what? So they take it to the kiln.
Yeah, they're like, the knife can't. I guess
the fire off the prince.
Well, yeah, I guess. Because I was confused too. Because they're like, if the knife exists, A can get it back. So they have to make the knife not exist.
What do you guys think a kiln does?
What do you think a knife is made of? Do you think a kiln is going to actually, I mean, maybe we're crazy. Maybe someone's going to come tell us. Maybe Mrs. Majestic is going to message us and say, actually, a kiln could. But I just don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
So maybe, yeah, maybe burn off the prince. I mean, it must work if Spencer agreed to it. But the kiln is turned on. They're like putting it in there and Spencer hears something and God forbid she just like stays to one task. I know. This is so annoying. She goes to follow the sound and Caleb goes into the kiln room. Yeah. Puts the knife in the kiln.
Imagine for a second. Imagine for a second. We are at Mount Lebanon High School in the art room. Which is like
supervised
nightmare.
Oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack.
But imagine you hear something in the behemoth of a building that is the Mount Lebanon High School.
And you think you'll be able to find it.
Yeah. And so you have someone who notoriously loves to find creative ways to torment you guys. And you guys are next to a kiln. I just don't know that I'm ever doing that.
Wait, we didn't even realize the fact, though, that Rosewood High only has one hallway.
Oh, you're right. So it's Spencer's much easier. Not that bad. But much they do easier. Have that one stairwell.
That's fair. So Spencer's going through the hallways, Caleb's in the kiln putting the knife in there, and of course, saw this coming from a freaking mile away, the door gets shut behind him, he's locked in, and the kiln is turned on. He's literally, I can't imagine a worse fate, TBH.
Oh my God, oh my God.
Dude,
and
this
it's because
was crazy.
Spencer was fucking doing whatever.
Playing Nancy Drew, get over it. Arya, this is actually, I mean,
especially when we find out where Talmadge is allegedly. We still don't really know where, but we find out it's not in Pennsylvania.
No. She just walks right up to Jackie, who, by the way, is in a conversation with someone. She goes, hi, I'm Arya Montgomery. Don't you remember me? Girl, how could she forget? So she literally, I just couldn't believe she was like, so I sent an email last night and I just like want to get that deleted. So can you help me? I'm speechless.
And Jackie's already read it. So she's like, why would you want to delete it?
You worried?
What's in there?
I'm going to share the contents with Ezra. And she basically says she's not going to say anything because she read the letter and just thought about all the time she wasted on him. And she just wishes there was like a, like basically like a shock collar that girls
she could
wear.
She says she wishes there was a pacemaker that people would put on your heart. So that it would zap you anytime you were with the wrong guy.
And it would save girls.
That would save a lot of girls, not just us. So she isn't clocking that Arya is like, I need that to be unsent so that I can save my relationship.
Yeah, she doesn't realize they're still together. She thinks Arya came to her senses. And honestly, Jackie's a hero at this point. Like, Jackie's
yes,
like,
especially that email she sends later.
I know. I was just like, wow, you know, she can see the situation for what it is. It's also so classic that, like, if you really want to look at this through a different lens, like Ezra being like, oh, Jackie works there. Like, do you, that's why you wouldn't get in. And it's like, yeah, because she's the only one who's making fucking sense around here.
So then we go back to the high school and Spencer finally gets back into the art room. It still takes her a second to realize that there's a possibility that Caleb is trapped in the kiln. She finally does. She opens it. And for a second, I thought that, like, because they do this cut of of the door closing when they start to say, is the knife in there? And I'm like, oh, my God, did A, like, somehow, like,
oh, my God,
get in there and take the knife and get out? But I don't think that happened because they watch it burn.
And I also like how she barely asks if he's okay before asking, is the knife in there? It's so funny.
Which is classic.
So I know that Hannah isn't visiting Allie in jail to be a good friend.
But
I was just like, when I saw her, I was like, this is the person I'm least surprised to see walk in here.
And Allie is immediately mean to her.
Well, and I thought Hannah knows. Hannah knows because she goes, well, who'd you think it was? And then she says, Holbrook. But I am like, yeah, honestly, Allie, who did you think it was? If you were going to go through, I mean, I guess maybe Emily. is who she would maybe think.
Yeah, but I don't think they left on good terms.
You're right. I don't know. But Hannah looks gorgeous, I think. This is so much more her, this look.
Yeah, I agree. And so she is like, look, I know you, or I still know some of you. And she just doesn't want... She needs Allie to give up is what she's saying. She's like, I know that you're a fighter and I know that you don't like to give up a fight, but I need you to just like lay down and fucking play dead.
Allie's like, and you know what I need from you? A thank you for not throwing you all under the bus because you could all be here with me. And that's when Hannah's like, oh my God, like you literally framed Spencer. You hid the knife. And Allie is like, what knife? And we realize, and I think Hannah realizes for a second, maybe Allie really doesn't know. And Allie says, if I was really as clever as everyone thinks I am, I would have had a better alibi. I wouldn't have used my fucking brother.
I love that line. And I also am like, Hannah, why do we say that you are in Rikers Island? Why'd you say the thing about the knife?
Yeah, no, that's a
no one knows about the knife yet.
I was actually wondering why she even like had to come all the way here to have this conversation with Allie. And then I was like, well, maybe she didn't want it recorded on the phones. And then she does this and it's like, okay, there's no logic here. What am I thinking?
We find out that Allie on, I almost said Turkey Day because I wrote Tea Day in my notes.
On Turkey Day, Allie, I would have loved it if you did and didn't acknowledge
and
it.
And then didn't say going. Anything.
Yeah.
Allie on Thanksgiving, she tells us where she was. So apparently she got a text from someone that she thought was going to be Cyrus and she was going to go meet them. And it sounded like he was in trouble. And she was afraid that if she didn't go, he was going to come clean about their arrangement. So she went and she waited for hours and hours. And then when she found out that Mona was missing or dead or whatever, she was like, fuck, I was set up.
It's a trap.
Yeah. It's famously a trap. Tell.
Right. Right. And she couldn't tell what actually happened to the police. And she says to Hannah, if I was A, why would I let this happen to me? And Hannah has the best line. She eats. She goes, I don't know, but if you're counting on that little last shred of me that gives a damn what happens to you, you shouldn't. Work! Did
we
you
go
notice?
To the brew and
Phoebe, wait, did you notice that now Spencer is wearing Taylor's Tortured Poet Department shoes in
no.
this scene? I guess they all just Taylor gifted them all pieces of the costumes, or maybe Taylor borrowed them all from their closets. But how? What are the odds that we have Arya wearing the jacket last week and now we have
Spencer
wearing
the
shoes?
I don't even know what the Tortured Poet shoes look like, though.
Well, they're horrible. They're like Mary Poppins boots, but they're white.
Of course. Guys, can we start getting real about some of Taylor's decisions visually and aesthetically?
Phoebe, I think a lot of people have been asking us that very question.
Well, I think we've talked about it a little bit. I think we've been pretty open about some of the things that we don't like about her.
I know. People just, you know what? People just hear what they want to hear. And isn't that the freaking truth?
We've always said that. So we're at the brew and Emily's like desperately
trying
to clear her plates of her empanadas because she's basically in a competition with Talia's crab cakes.
And Talia has no idea they're in a competition.
Right.
Emily's like, eat it to Spencer. Spencer doesn't want it. And Emily says, what do you mean? No, thanks. You're starving. Eat it. Which is when Spencer realizes there's a hair in it.
And Emily says, eat around it.
Emily, it doesn't have to be like good. It doesn't have to taste good. It does have to follow like simple food safety guidelines for me to partake.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. And then the other chef is obviously
so
a huge hit.
Mr. Ramon's t-shirt walks up to Spencer and is like, Melissa? And Spencer basically melts to the ground.
Aren't you dying to know what he was told about Melissa
that
made him think
yes.
Spencer was Melissa?
Because it doesn't seem like he like knows what they look like. So it's not, it wouldn't be like
well,
if someone
okay,
like,
well,
if
a brown hair girl.
Well, if someone knew what you looked like and what I looked like and then like saw one of us after a long time, they might be like, oh, Phoebe or oh, Caroline.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
But
in
Melissa
my mind,
and Spencer
it's
don't really
like,
have that.
This but is what they look like. Brown hair, pretty girl, thin, really intense looking. Maybe that, you know what? Maybe
that's what
that.
Did it.
Yeah. So yeah, they're having this conversation. He's going to go live in their barn basically. And she goes, oh, you shouldn't do that. You don't want to live there. I'm telling you because someone was buried back there.
His name's
she
Johnny.
Walks away. Johnny Raymond.
Oh my God. I fucking hate his storyline. I'm remembering it now. Oh,
great. Can't wait. So Emily, furious, dumps all her empanadas in the kitchen and the other chef sees it.
Suddenly,
and she's like, stop it.
Suddenly, it's clear this is a love interest.
Oh, wait, really?
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't so clear.
It wasn't clear to me right away. Is it going to be?
Yeah. This is like the scene where I feel like they start cluing us in.
I don't know why.
It's very short-lived.
Oh, okay, okay.
But Talia wants to help and is like, nothing can't be salvaged with slivered almonds or the right sauce, which I disagree with.
Especially the slivered almonds part.
She says this after Emily has an absolute breakdown in front of her.
I mean, tells her everything. Well, this is part of why I didn't think it was a romantic thing. And also because in my mind, Talia is a lot older than Emily. But what am I thinking? That doesn't matter.
Right.
But yeah, Emily's like, I needed the cash to try to save a relationship that doesn't even exist.
She is
someone who won't even. Oh, no way. Someone who won't even answer her stupid emails. Emily's crying. It's actually a good acting moment for Shay. But yeah. This is where she puts some sauce. Like, Talia puts some sauce in the empanadas. Emily tries them. She says, if you hate it, you can spit it in my face. And then it's good. And then that's when Emily does an absolutely perfect Megan Albatross face that
I
had to rewind and film.
When I see you in
that's
the morning. So then we go to the Marin Manor and Jason has arrived and he's bringing by some paper. Remember that the pin that we put in something earlier? Yeah, take the pin out. Here we are. And Jason arrives. He has some paperwork to bring by and he basically invites himself to stay over. And Ashley's like, okay, yeah, I'll make you dinner and you can have coffee. And I'm going to drink an entire bottle of Sauvignon Blanc.
Even though I know that you're
sober.
An addict. Yeah. Like what? I can't. He goes, I'm staying at the Edgewood. My dad made it clear I'm not welcome since Allie left. And that's when I was like, okay, sensors are up. Is he trying to fuck Ashley? And then when she says she's going to feed him, I'm like, okay, so he's going to fuck Ashley. Got it.
Yeah. So we go back to the brew and Arya gets an email that says, you're in, girl. And I'm like, okay, you guys, this was quick.
This is actually, though, the most realistic thing about this show, because nothing brings two girls together faster
like
than shared hatred of one man. Exactly. Did you notice what Ezra's wearing?
It's like Kristen Doty and Ariana.
Oh.
Sorry,
yeah,
not
yeah.
The shirt. Sorry, I was trying to think of who I was thinking of.
Yeah, you're right. He's wearing, and this was like the fit, I feel like, for men, and also like specifically men that Phoebe liked.
Right.
He's wearing a black rock and roll tight-fitting t-shirt with a navy blazer over top of it.
No,
I mean,
I
the
always,
number
no,
of fashion rules.
No. I always hated a blazer with a t-shirt.
You said, hey, I wear the blazers in the relationship.
Hey, the blazer and the t-shirt combination is way too feminine.
Yeah, you can wear the pants, but I wear the blazers and the fedoras.
And sometimes a tie if I feel like it.
No,
and maybe a vest. If it's summertime.
If weather calls for it.
Oh, you know, God. They do. Streets are saying that famous swimwear designer Amanda Bettula, her vest wear is inspired by the late, great Phoebe Connell.
Well, people are also saying that Amanda Bettula is including waterproof fedoras in her line, inspired by pictures she's seen on our page.
We're doing a joint live when we're announcing that later this week.
Wait,
so shut
what?
Up. So stop.
Oh, my God. 901 free at last.
And that's when it's coming out. That's going to be on the band of the first one. So anyway, Ezra comes up to Arya and is like, hey, I have someone I want you to talk about. This is a guy I've asked her. I figured a great writer should meet another great writer. I'm like, she's 17. He's a professor of English.
And hey, Ezra, you don't know how not good of a writer she is.
She hasn't gotten into a single school.
Only knew. She's also rude to this professor. It's like, girl,
like,
you are not in a position to not be groveling.
I can't
come on.
Dander.
Toby arrives and he's pissed. He like does the like head nod to get her out.
He literally just goes. But then when
Spencer follows
him out, he walks a million miles in front of her and is like gonna leave. Like he doesn't actually want to talk to her. He just like
really
wanted
so freaking
he
pissed.
Just wanted the opportunity to storm away from her.
Pretty much, yeah. They both, turns out, went behind each other's backs. He found out that Spencer and Caleb went back to get the knife, and the only way he could have found that out is by going back to get the knife himself. So they're both mad at each other.
Never been able to go back and find something that I found in the woods if I left it there.
No, me neither. But I feel like at this point, we've really been frolicking in the woods for 5 seasons now. So number one, they probably have like an inch by inch map of this place somewhere. But also, they know like the back of their freaking hand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The topography is not unfamiliar. But I did not love how Toby grabs Spencer.
I thought that was interesting.
It's a very interesting choice. They have him grabs. We don't really see it, but it's suggested that he grabs her arms or her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks down and is noticeably scared. And her, I mean, it's, of course, Troyan kills it. And he basically says, like, she says, you keep talking about we need to do the right thing, but like, I need to protect myself. And what if those aren't aligned? And that's when he grabs her. And he says, there are things I cannot know about. There are things you cannot say out loud to me. And he says, she says, you told me once that I could tell you anything.
I'm a little bit like, did you get a talking to today at work? Like, where's it? You haven't been acting like this at all. That's why you got the job.
It is like, okay, well, Toby, we've like been saying this though. And it hasn't been an issue until right now, which is weird. But also, I kind of feel like Spencer, I guess he hasn't made it clear that he's not trying to like be a double agent. But if I'm Spencer, like, you got to understand that, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
I agree.
She's like, you told me I could tell you anything. He's like, well, yeah, but like within reason.
Changed. Exactly.
Right.
So then we go back to the Marin Manor and Jason is eating dinner. And we talk a little bit about Jess. And then
he's like,
he kisses her.
You should get a dog because you're in this big house all by yourself. And hey, if a dog's not really right for you, how about a shaggy blonde like me? I know a golden retriever.
Then he's up for adoption.
Yeah. So they start kissing. She goes to take his plate. He kisses her and he says, consider that a thank you for dinner. And I have to say, that is so like a man to assume that an unexpected and likely unwelcome kiss that's inappropriate would be a gift, would be a thank you. But she does take it that way. She says, I don't mind being thanked. And then they start making out.
Then we go back to the brew. And Aria fills Emily in on everything. And she's like, I can't tell Ezra tonight. And then Ezra is like, complimenting Talia as much as he possibly can, and he goes up to Emily and he's like, ah, and she says, hire her.
Yeah, he's like, ah, is it? Yeah. So then Arya's cleaning and, well, she finds,
I know it looks like she was cleaning, I don't buy that she was actually cleaning.
She was just trying to look busy while she waited for her man.
So she wasn't being asked to like take the trash out or like move
actually,
a chair.
That's probably true. But thank God, because she finds a liberal arts college book and there's a bookmark in it. And so she opens it up and the bookmark is on Talmadge College. And the bookmark, as she flips it over, this is crazy.
A is fast.
Has a piece of her letter cut out that's like about not wanting to be in the relationship. This is where like I was like jaw drop. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, the Jason Ashley thing. This in the book is crazy. And then, yeah.
Then we go back to the Marin Manor and Hannah comes home and she walks into the kitchen and sees two place settings. And
dude, I was like, is she gonna walk setting this up? Like, she's going to walk in on them fucking
across the island.
Jason is, though, so hot. Like, low key, good for you, Ashley.
She sees the De Laurentiis like file on the counter and the two place settings and everything. And then she like can see, she hears the door close upstairs and she like peeks around the corner and sees Jason walking down the stairs buttoning a shirt and leaving.
It's crazy, actually. It's actually so crazy.
Imagine if you were touting your mother's relationship with a pastor earlier in the day and then you walk home and find her fucking your best friend's brother.
Is it possible they broke up and we don't know? Hannah doesn't know yet.
Hey, y'all should have filled us in on that, the audience. Maybe Hannah doesn't know yet, but we need to.
Well, because, like, for a second, I forgot. And then I was like, wait. Because I was like, oh, Hannah's just going to be, like, so mad at her mom for doing this. And then I, like, remembered that she's fully in a relationship with a man of God. Okay.
Yeah. So then
Allie is in jail, as we said. And they're delivering her new brand spanking new orange minted jumpsuit. And it has a note smuggled in that Allie doesn't even try to hide. And it says, your friends will see you soon. And oh, she gives this little smirk as if she's grossly happy about that. Because of course she is.
And that's the app.
Because that's the Ali D way. You know, I'm going to show you the Ali D way.
And that's the app.
Yeah, Phoebe's like, and as I said, no more on this. That is the up. Yeah. So, guys, this is week two of us officially doing our two episode weeks. Hope you guys are enjoying it as much as we are. If you haven't listened, we released an episode on Tuesday and we talked all about pop culture, and that's all we really talked about. So if you're missing that part of this episode, if we didn't go on enough tangents for you, then you're going to want to go listen to that. And then if you can freaking believe it, tomorrow you're going to get an episode on the Patreon as well. So who knows what that's going to be like, but it sure will be something, I promise, for you to listen to and even watch. Next week we'll have two episodes as well and a podcast on the Patreon, and then we're finishing out August with a pilot recap of The Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I'm actually pumped about. It's been a while, and that is some crazy good television. Make sure you guys are following us on social media. On TikTok, we are at The Pretty Little Podcast. On Instagram, we are at The Pretty Little Podcast. But the O in podcast is a zero. Make sure you're following us everywhere. Please rate, review, subscribe, follow us. Make sure you never miss an episode. And tell everyone you know about us. Thank you so much. Oh, I have to do the synopsis for next week. I'll do that now. The episode for next week, season 5, episode 16, is called Over a Barrel. Spencer searches for Mona's missing laptop with Caleb's help. But where the search leads them could cross the Toby approved line. And what does that mean? And what does that mean exactly? The Toby approved line. Does that mean as a cop, as Cadet Kavanaugh? Or does that mean as boyfriend Toby?
Someone just commented that they think the Diva Dish is the boutique place that Cece was working at when we first met her.
It is. I think I thought we maybe figured that out last week. But maybe
no,
not.
We didn't know what it was last week.
Somehow that's sticking out of my mind. But yes.
Well, maybe in the pit. You searched.
I just am like, we like needed more of that. We needed with so much more of Diva Dish. And guys, Phoebe and I are planning a special episode called Diva Dish, where we're going to say, guys, Road Warriors, Diva's Dish. Tell us everything. Tell us literally everything that's going on. Tell us something crazy. And we'll talk about it. We'll literally react to your life. Your wins, your blunders. We don't care.
We don't discriminate. Just because we famously only have wins doesn't mean we won't be there for your blunders.
Right. It's actually like we actually appreciate the blunders way more even.
Yeah.
Because we don't get to experience them. So it's good to just like put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why you guys like this podcast so much. So thank you so much for listening. It means more than you ever know. And obviously, if you haven't listened to our Sarah Shepard episode, then you're not a true fan. Go listen right now. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Tune in tomorrow and on Tuesday. We love you guys so much. We will see you next week.
And splat.
Splat. I wonder if we'll ever stop saying that.
Maybe next week.
Oh my God, really?